Eye the Eye Live every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern. It is truly intelligent media for the politically aware.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got now.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Hey, welcome everyone to Black Friday in the black year of 2020 to Dare to Think Out Loud with Dave Scorpio and myself. And we're standing in for our good friend LB, who has taken a sabbatical. And so we are looking forward into jumping into some rather alarming things that seem to be happening in our country today. Dave, you want to introduce yourself to the folks again and tell them about your show?
Sure, Mike. This is Dave Scorpio, and my show comes on at 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. Saturdays, Studio A.
Fantastic. Did you want to touch on the interaction in the past couple of days with Mr. Jesse Ventura, Dave?
Well, sure. I'll just sort of throw this out there and see where you want to take it. Jesse Ventura was on Jim Fetzer's show a few days ago, and of course, it was interesting. You know, they spent quite a bit of time talking about the Kennedy assassination, and Jesse was on board with that, no problem. But then when they started taking calls, the issue of COVID and masking came up. And it turns out that Jesse not only fully supports the COVID narrative, he supports masking as a necessity, and got very upset when one of the callers challenged him. And then, I called in and I asked him, well, Jesse, I appreciate that you accept masking, but would you accept it if it was said that they're going to make masking permanent? Would you then accept that as well? And he scoffed and said, that's impossible. That's ridiculous. Even though Fauci and several other people have already said that publicly. And then he abruptly ended the interview.
Oh, wow. That's incredible. Of course, I'm not surprised, and you and I have talked about that. There is a national program out there, and I believe that if you have been a star in any capacity whatsoever, you will either get on with the program or you will feel the full force of the United States government and its oppressive nature. And that would kind of lead us into the program the subject, not the program, but the subject you and I have been talking about previous to the show. We are seeing an awful lot of deployed military, both in the UK and in the US. Do you want to cover what you've seen so far, Dave, please?
Sure. Well, Mike, what I'm finding disturbing is, when I monitor the mainstream media, which I call enemy war footage, just so I know what the enemy is up to. They sort of drop little hints and get people's minds acclimated to certain concepts. And I've noticed over the last month or so, almost every episode of the news, they seem to show the military, the National Guard, doing something in civilian life. Like, now they're being deployed to hospitals in different parts of the country, North Dakota, New York, and other places, Ohio and Wisconsin, just to name a few states. And, they're setting up these field hospitals because we're in such a dire emergency. They're also at the airport now checking passengers, just asking them friendly questions. Well, you know, have you had a COVID test? Do you need to quarantine? Blah, blah, blah. Quite friendly still at this point. And of course, you know, they were deployed during the BLM riots and so on and so forth. And I'm just seeing more and more use of the military being kind of slowly unveiled to the public. Oh, and also they're handing out food at these food giveaways. Apparently, there's, you know, they're saying one in six people is having to get food assistance right now in the United States, which I don't know if I believe that statistic, but that's what they're putting out.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised at all, Dave, because I'm seeing so many, even personal friends contacting me from out west, telling me about lines at supermarkets, and one in particular in Farmington, New Mexico, where there was a line, a very long line to go into the Albertsons food store, and they were being restricted to five customers at a time inside the store and restricted to 20 items only for purchase. And so my friend asked, he saw someone he knew in line, and he asked him, he said, how long have you been in line? He said, well, I've been in line for 45 minutes so far, and I can promise you it's not moving very quickly. So, yes, I think these things are being implemented around the country, and it would make sense to implement them in certain areas first. But one of the questions I have here, Dave, and the thing that's been popping in my mind is, are these National Guard forces only, or are these actual components of the United States active duty military?
That's a very good question. And they're not terribly, you know what, to be honest, they're not very specific. All you see is a guy in an army uniform walking around doing various things. So that's a very good question.
Well, if it is the National Guard, and they were called out at the request of a governor, or at the request of a governor in an adjoining state, even as I read the posse comitatus law, they are allowed to do so in what could be considered a national emergency. And of course, everybody knows this has been declared a national emergency. But I'm wondering about the full active duty military, because, you know, Trump promised to have this vaccine delivered by Operation Warp Speed. And he said, when he described that, that he would utilize every force within the United States military, every truck, every person, everything else, with no mention whatsoever of the Posse Comitatus Act. Are you familiar with the Posse Comitatus Act, Dave?
Oh, yes, yes.
Are you familiar with why it was passed?
Actually, no, I don't think I am. Please explain it.
Okay. In 1867, we had the Reconstruction Act after the War of Northern Aggression. And so the South, 10 states in the South, are divided up into five military districts of two states each. And a Union general is put in command of each one of those areas. So we had complete military domination of the 10 southern states all through Reconstruction. There were no open courts. There was nothing that was being done except outside of the parameters of the military. So by the end of construction, even the people in the North had begun to see the corruption and the tyranny of this entire episode, which takes us back to our anti-federalists fearing a standing army. So we had visited upon the Southern people was just complete tyranny and oppression at the hands of the recognized military of the day. They even controlled the elections. So the Act went through Congress to prevent that from occurring again, Dave, but I believe we're right back almost at the same place.
Yes, that's very true. And, you know, Mike, they interviewed one of these soldiers that had been deployed to North Dakota, because apparently there's this huge outbreak in North Dakota and the hospitals are just, you know, jam-packed full of COVID patients, which I don't believe. But anyway, they interviewed this guy, the commander of the troops there, and what he said is that we are, missioned, our mission is to fight all enemies, and that includes this virus. So apparently they have a new enemy for an endless war, the virus.
Well, and doesn't it help that it's invisible and exists primarily in the mind of government employees?
Yeah, that is very convenient, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And it can be anywhere, Mike. It can be under every rock and behind every tree. There's just no way to know where it's going to strike next.
Well, the virus is not allowed in Walmart or Target. That's off limits. It's also not allowed on professional football fields or baseball fields. So the virus is restricted in some extent. So it can hide on the sidelines of the NFL or in the seats of the NBA. It's allowed to do certain things like that, which makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. But one of the things that I have been thinking about is the planning through the United States military, the planning for this operation that may have been going on for decades, even back to the Clinton administration. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Oh, I think you're spot on. Maybe you could expound upon that, because, you know, that was a big fear back during the Clinton administration, that era. So please expound upon that.
Well, let's look at the department. Well, this came on a little later, but, we had several military operations that were done quietly and actually done within the borders of the United States, all of which were completely unconstitutional. And let's not forget that Janet Napolitano, as the director of Homeland Security, one time published a potential domestic terrorist list. Well, remarkably, on that list were Bible-believing Christians, anti-abortionists, pro-Second Amendment folks, and she included veterans who were potential domestic terrorists. Well, there was so much blowback on that designation that Janet Napolitano removed the veterans from the potential domestic terrorists. Of course, then as we move on, and most people will have forgotten this one totally, but let's not forget about Operation Jade Helm 2015, 2014, whatever you want to call it during that time frame. Do you remember that one, Dave?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And, I saw some footage of some of those drills, and essentially what they were doing is practicing taking over small towns and having a command headquarters in various locations to control these small cities. What's your take on it?
Well, one of the target areas was Texas. So yes. Remember now, this is called Jade Helm 2015. So what happens in Waco, Texas on May 17th, I believe, of 2015?
No, I'm not sure. Was some kind of shooting or what?
Yes, the big biker shootout at the Twin Peaks restaurant in Waco, Texas, wherein nine bikers were killed, and then the district attorney moves in and arrests every biker on the spot. 180-some people are arrested, and their motorcycles are seized. They are all charged with the same crime, and it was very unusual that the autopsies showed that several of the bikers who expired on the scene were shot in the head, and which I believe that there were four or five out of the nine that were killed with headshots. Now, in a gun battle in a parking lot, headshots in most instances would be quite rare. And the thing I noticed was that at the trials in Iran, in 2019, the charges against everybody who had been charged in 2015 was dismissed. Imagine that. So they put these people through hell, put them through hell, make them spend I don't know how much money on attorney's fees, and some of them went to trial and were found not guilty at trial. But the thing that in reading through the trials, the thing that I looked at was when they were talking about, and in one trial, they produced autopsy pictures of all nine who were killed. And, you know, again, some were headshots and some were in the back of the head. And the only weapons that were tested at that time were three police department weapons from the Waco Police Department. Now, it's my contention, and I realize this was all blown down and called conspiracy theory, but it's my contention that this was part of Jade Helm 2015 and that this was a practice run and that those bikers were enticed into a riot outside by an agent provocateur because there were two people who were involved who weren't arrested, and that's always a key. And so then we have these people who die on scene, and none of this makes sense. This gets to be quite a I followed it quite closely for several years to watch exactly how what happened with this, and the state refused to present evidence on this, evidence on that, evidence on the other things, and then the fact that these men, some of them, may have been killed by snipers. And, of course, no one would have had access to the sniper weapons for ballistics tests. So, in my mind, Jade Helm 15 and the biker shootout in Waco at Twin Peaks becomes highly problematic. And I mentioned
now, Mike, weren't you saying before that a lot of the guys that were killed were shot with a .223 round, which is a rifle round, right?
Right. That was the preliminary autopsy findings, of course, by the time it is doctored. But I found one thing was very unusual, and it was a great move in court, was in a trial of one of these bikers. The BATF, the prosecution put a BATF person on the board, I mean, up for a witness, I'm sorry. And as soon as the first question was asked, there was a objection by the defense attorney and said, Your Honor, this man that is here to testify about what killed these bikers was not involved in any of the autopsies, so he is set here to testify about something of which he has no knowledge. And so the judge recessed for a moment and, you know, had the attorneys approach. And then the BATF agent was removed and did not testify at all during that trial. So what did the prosecution have planned for this BATF agent to testify as to what killed these people when he was not on the scene when it happened, nor was he. Nor did he examine any of the dead bikers. So that was something that that really kind of piqued my interest, was what was the prosecution trying to get by with here and would have gotten by with if this BATF agent had been allowed to testify. And I'm sure, knowing previously that even the BATF several years ago was actually proved to have a course where they taught their agents how to perjure themselves in court.
Wow. That's amazing. And, you know, earlier you referenced, you know, Trump saying he's going to use the military as part of this Operation Warp Speed. Why would we need the military to distribute little vials of vaccine in syringes? I mean, it just doesn't really make sense to me when, you know, they managed to get the flu shot out there every year and other products without using the military. What do you think's behind that insistence of using the military?
Well, the military equates to force. The anti-federalists knew this well, and it equates to just blunt force. That's all it is that is why you deploy the military anywhere. Why do you send the military to a foreign country? to force your will on other people. That is the very point of the military, is to force the agenda or to force the program that has been adopted by the governing body onto people who might refuse or resist. So, and I've had friends who are apologists for Trump to say, well, he's just trying to utilize the best method, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, I don't buy it. Didn't buy it then. Don't buy it now. You use the military for one reason, and that's force. If I send someone with a gun to your home, Dave, I intend to force you to do something. It's really basic, simple logic. But the statists and the Trumpsters, the MAGA folks, they're going to believe, because in their minds, when Trump did whatever he was going to do, he was still playing 4D chess.
Yeah. Yeah, you just don't see it. Trust the plan. But Mike, here's what's disturbing to me, and I totally agree. The military represents force. Absolutely. That's why they have guns. And if they do this Operation Warp Speed, that means the military will be deployed to all 50 states.
Well, that is true. And I remember very distinctly watching a video from 2005. Now we're 15 years out. From the Katrina in New Orleans, and I remember a National Guard unit going through the streets of New Orleans, and these were the streets that had not even been touched by the flood. And they're going through the streets in New Orleans, and they're beating on doors, they're fully armed, full battle rattle, and they're all ready to go. And the newsman asked one of them on camera, well, weren't you just deployed to Iraq? And he says, yes, so our unit just finished a deployment to Iraq just a few months ago. And he asked the guy, he said, well, does this not feel surreal to be on the streets of America doing what you did in Baghdad or Fallujah, wherever you were? Does this not feel surreal? And he said, yes. You know, it would really, really bother me if an American actually refused to follow our directions or refused to adhere to what we're here to enforce. It would really bother me to have to do what I would have to do in that instance. So what does that tell you, Dave?
It could only mean one thing, which means, shooting people. And I believe they were taking guns from people as well, weren't they? Weren't they going door to door and demanding people's weapons?
They went door to door, demanded all of the weapons, took all of the weapons, even in the areas of New Orleans that hadn't even had one iota of damage because of the riots or because of the floods. They went door to door, even in the wealthy areas of New Orleans, and seized everyone's firearms. And many people never got those back, Dave.
Wow. And I'll tell you, Mike, I lived in New Orleans in the late 80s. I went to college in New Orleans. And, it was well known that the levee system was a joke. It hadn't been properly maintained for decades. And even then, people were there was always talk about, well, if there's a bad storm, the levees are going to give out and the whole city is going to flood because a lot of it's, below sea level. But nothing was ever done. A lot of those levees are just earthen levees where the Army Corps of Engineers takes a tractor and, puts some dirt up into a big mound. That's about it.
Right. I know, Dave. I've walked some of those levees myself, and I know exactly what you're talking about. And for what happened there, then for the U.S. government to use that, especially in the military, to deploy forces into New Orleans, and the fact that that didn't bother Americans, the fact that Americans just kept chugging along, and I can remember how many times before 2005 when I said the military at some point in time in this country, and I started in the 80s making this claim, that the military will go door to door seizing firearms. You have any idea how many times I was told that can't happen here?
Right. Well, that's exactly what Jesse said when I asked him if they make mass permanent, what would he do? He said, that's impossible. And Mike, of course, in this Katrina thing, they used the cover of, you know, a natural disaster, you know, an act of God, so to speak, as cover for all these nefarious tests and sort of, you know, experiments on, with things. And they're doing the same thing now with COVID. Well, it's a national emergency and it's an act of God. And nothing we can do about it. We have to stop the virus.
Well, but we can shoot a hole right straight through the heart of that fallacious argument. It's just absolutely incredible because this virus does not exist in nature. It's a man-made. It is a bioweapon.
Right.
So, and then all you have to do is, if you are a U.S. government statist, you have to say, well, China did it. Well, yeah, maybe. But what country on this planet produces more biological weapons on a regular basis than any other country?
Well, it's not China.
Well, that is exactly true. It's the U.S. And they've been doing it for, you know, for 50 some years now. Especially headed by the CIA.
Right. Yeah. For Fort Detrick, among other places, I think there's like 50 different level 4 laboratories across the United States.
Right. And I'm still not sure what's going on at DARPA either. So that is, you know, and then I also want to throw this in. I know we're about at break time and we can come at it on the other side of the break. But we've been at war now for 19 years in this country, continuous warfare. So how many veterans do we have from all of those years of warfare? How many veterans are out there now? And then are the veterans our enemies? They are killing themselves at 22 a day, probably more. And during COVID, the suicide rate is up somewhere in the neighborhood of, I've heard, as high as 30% in the military and among veterans. Pardon me. So on the flip side, when we get back to the other side here, Dave, I want to discuss a current operation that is taking place in America, a current military operation.
Okay.
See you on the other side,
folks.
Engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me death!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given right, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point on Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
That's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got here.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Hey, welcome back, everyone, to Dare to Think Out Loud. And if you are missing LB on this format, he has taken some time and is off clearing his head, getting better, feeling better. So, Dave, before the break, we were talking about military and as it will be involved in the moving forward with all of the draconian measures that this government has in store for us. And those will move forward regardless of how we proceed. It's not going to make a great deal of difference whether we have a left or a right wing president. It's going to proceed because it's in the government's plans. So here is one of the points I was looking for and during the break. And let me see if I can find that. I wrote an article back several years ago on these, on the biker incident and some of the things that were happening in Waco. And I don't have the official quote right in front of me right now because I haven't been able to find it yet. But hopefully I will before the program is over. But I remember doing some research and found out that a gathering and training session of police officers in Colorado about this same time, in 2014, 2015, a lieutenant, and I have his name, I don't mind giving it if I can just find the exact quote. This lieutenant was training police officers and telling them that the enemy that they would face in the streets of America were Christians, Bible-believing Christians, the veterans, conspiracy theorists, Second Amendment folks. Basically, this has been laid out now for probably in the neighborhood of 20 years or more. So why is this so hard for people to accept and understand, Dave?
Well, I basically, because I think we've been fed this secret mythology of the founding of the country and, you know, how we're all free. And, you know, I'd say that the narrative that you're talking about probably began during the Oklahoma City bombing, because here we had a veteran who was a conspiracy theorist who decided to blow up the Mirror Building. And you know, and also it was a big swipe at the militias and the Second Amendment and all that. Maybe that's when the whole narrative began.
Well, I think you're probably spot on with that, because what was beginning to happen was the government was beginning to be afraid of all of these militia units, because automatically, if you're a member of a militia, you had to be anti-government, because why would you need a militia when you have all of the resources of the government on your side? And we also know, and it's a pretty easily provable fact, that the Patriot Act was actually composed shortly after Oklahoma City. And it was put in place, and what they had hoped to do was to implement those protocols, totally unconstitutional protocols, at that point. And unfortunately, it didn't work out in back then, so we waited until 9/11 and implemented the Patriot Act to where we could greatly facilitate and demonize these people. As you said, Timothy McVeigh, that we could demonize people like McVeigh. But how does this fit with the fact that all of these people who are out, and here's my great question that I like to ask people, if you believe that a politician who writes or votes for an unconstitutional act, a freedom-destroying act, should be at the very least immediately removed from office, why do you believe that the people who enforce those unconstitutional acts are heroes?
Yeah, it's a good question, Mike. And of course, you know, the newest heroes are the frontline workers fighting the virus as well. Those are the new heroes.
Oh, yeah. Those are the heroes and indispensable and, you know, all of these other things. Of course, anything that is connected, anyone who is supporting government is good. Anyone who opposes it is bad. So that is...
Well, that's a very good point, Mike.
That's the very simple equation. So now, Dave, I want to ask you a question. Have you heard of an operation called Operation Vigilant Eagle?
I think I've heard of it, but it escapes me exactly what it is. Please expand upon that to our audience.
Operation Vigilant Eagle was put in place a few years back. It was put in place through the Department of Homeland Security, enforced by the FBI. They're very instrumental in it as well. So we have these people, and who are they targeting? Of course, they have to tell you they're targeting potential terrorists, all this other stuff. But the great amount of resources and time in Operation Vigilant Eagle are veterans. Veterans are being targeted by the U.S. military because, A, they have training. Two, they have, in many cases, they have actually been in combat or seen combat, which represents a truly formidable force to a government takeover. And these have been watched. Veterans are being watched, especially veterans from Afghanistan and Iraq are being watched, especially in social media and other places. If they post just questionable song lyrics, they are put on this watch list. So the government that wants to use the military to oppress you and take your freedoms is worried about those they used previously to do the same thing. Wherein does that make sense, Dave? Pardon me. Anyway, that is...
Well, sorry, Mike, I was muted. Operator error.
Okay.
No, I think it's because, you know, these people have seen, first of all, they're trained, like you said. They know combat, they know weaponry, and they know how to organize people in a military situation. And I think also because they've seen this beast from the inside, and they know how dirty things really are when you look at it from the inside out.
Well, I don't think anything represents a better picture of the tyranny that we are facing in this government than this government's treatment of its veterans. And this goes back with me back to the POW/MIA issue, which was very prevalent in the 80s, which Ronald Reagan lied and said in his campaign in 1980 it would be the highest priority with his administration. And then we go through just absolute cover-up after cover-up after cover-up, most of those cover-ups engineered in the Senate by John McCain and John Kerry. So we have those type things going on. And then we have all of the debacles surrounding Agent Orange, the Gulf Syndrome, how veterans have been used as guinea pigs over and over and over again for various experiments they didn't even know they were being used for. And then we have this huge suicide rate that began, shortly after Vietnam. We ended up with, some of it started before the war was over. So we end up with a huge problem with veterans taking their own lives. And where is the government effort? Where are the government dollars that have been spent to find a reason for why this is happening? Or is it okay if it happens in their mind?
That's a very good question.
This is something
Why do you think the suicide rates are so high amongst Gulf War veterans and Afghanistan War veterans?
Well, Dave, I try to put this when I'm talking with folks that are at least halfway awake and we have this discussion. My question is this, is that if I told you that a neighbor three doors down from you had done all of these terrible things and was planning on killing you, your family, everybody, everything that was living around you, and I convinced you that what you had to do was to go down and kill them first, and you went down and took their lives, you killed a family because they were potential enemies, they were potential, you know, they were going to come do things to you, so you went down and you wiped out a family, and shortly after you did that, you found out I told you a lie.
Right.
That makes sense. How does one live with that?
Yeah.
And it doesn't take too long when you realize, you know, that many of these veterans have realized they've been lied to. Many of them are upset. And one of the great points I think that you could make on this is look at now at your outlaw motorcycle clubs or your OMCs that have been so designated by this government. And of course, these are all bad guys and they're selling drugs and they've got hit teams and they're doing all this other stuff. And maybe in some instances they might be true. But go back and research all of these great busts of all of these outlaw motorcycle gangs that have been done by BATF with their inside undercover agents, with the FBI and their inside undercover agents. And these mass arrests of all of these crazy bikers is put on the front page of the newspaper. But then we find out that most of the cases end up being dismissed, and after the initial splash, no one hears anything about them. Now, Dave, could that be, and especially if we go back to Waco and we go back to the shooting there, let's stop and take a look at who some of the bikers were at the in Waco. Well, you had the Outlaws. Oh, wow. Okay. And they were founded by a Marine Corps veteran. You had the Vietnam veterans biker group there. You had several, and if you go to almost any biking club, and I'm not going to call them outlaw, that's the government's term for them, but if you go to almost any club whatsoever and do a survey, you will find out that 80 to 90% of the members of those clubs are bikers. And as a matter of fact,
you mean military? Ex-military?
I mean military. Ex-military. I'm sorry. Veterans. And pardon my brain collapse there. But you will see that they are veterans. And why is our government afraid of these veterans in groups? Why do you have to call them outlaws? Why do you have to put all this nomenclature on these people?
Yeah, that's a great point. And the most notorious gang or motorcycle club, the Hells Angels, they were formed by military veterans, too, after World War II, I believe.
Well, they were. The Booze Fighters was especially World War II veterans. And we can go all the way back to the huge newspaper story about them. And then we had, of course, the Marlon Brando movie on the what was that on the waterfront or something like that?
Rebel Without a Cause.
Okay, So then we have that, we have those things happening, but we also know that that great demonization of the bikers in that time frame, the guy from the San Francisco newspaper who took all these pictures that were published all over the country, he staged them all. These were not real pictures. And you can read about that in the book that was written by the founder of the Booze Fighters. I can't remember his name right now, but you can find that if you read that book. And then look at Hunter S. Thompson. Look at his involvement with the biker groups, and then look at the very suspicious circumstances of Hunter S. Thompson's suicide.
Yeah, it happened shortly after 9/11, didn't it?
Yeah, and he allegedly had some information on 9/11 he was about to broadcast.
Yes, he was very suspicious about the events of 9/11. I've seen footage of him, not relaying information, but being very suspicious about what was going on. He could see the fascism coming from it.
Oh, absolutely. And I believe that Hunter S. Thompson also saw an infiltration of one motorcycle club in particular by government agents. I think he saw that. I think he saw where it was going. The circumstances around his suicide, he's on the phone with his wife. His son's in the house. He shoots himself in the head, allegedly bowing in front of his oven somehow. Shoots himself in the head with a 9mm pistol. But the cop who arrived to investigate the scene said that it was a semi-automatic pistol, and there were other rounds in the magazine, but there was no round in the barrel, which is suspect, because if you pull the trigger on a semi-auto, it's going to automatically chamber the next round or jam.
Right.
The other thing that I found out years later that was kind of an accidental find was that Hunter S. Thompson, who's, do you remember exactly where he was in Colorado when he did this? Was it Boulder or someplace like?
I don't remember. It wasn't Boulder. I think it was somewhere outside of Vail. I'm not sure.
Okay, but anyway, why would you take a suicide victim or suicide, whatever you want to call them? They are a victim of their own demise, I guess. But why would you take a suicide victim, place that body in the back of a police car, and drive that body to Grand Junction, Colorado, several miles away for an autopsy?
Well, that's bizarre. I'd say that's against every medical protocol imaginable.
And in a police car? In a police car? Now, people are going to say, well, you're really a conspiracy nut here, Gaddy. But, this is one of the crazy things. I actually talked to a lady who assisted in performing that autopsy. And this conversation came about totally off the wall. And she mentioned that she could never figure out why that they not in an ambulance, not in, you know, a funeral home car, but in a police car, they bring a body to Grand Junction, Colorado to have it autopsied. And then returned. Somewhat bizarre.
What did she say about the autopsy?
She didn't go into any great detail. It was a gunshot. They were not told any details about it whatsoever, but they performed the autopsy, and yes, it was a homicide. They said it was either homicide or suicide was the official report for a gunshot wound to the head.
Wow. Yeah, and Hunter S. Thompson was a very talented writer and a very independent spirit, the kind of personality that would never be allowed into the media at this point. I mean, not even close.
Oh, no, you can't let those people, because here is the thing that we're seeing, Dave, and we're seeing this gradual shutdown. We are seeing anyone who objects, and, of course, your encounter with Jesse Ventura is a prime example. And didn't you mention there was some kind of action against your YouTube after that?
Yeah, the very next day after this, I kind of cornered Jesse about the masking thing when I asked him, well, hey, would you support it if it became permanent? And he got very flustered, said, that's impossible, and he hung up. The very next day, our YouTube channel got a strike for spreading medical misinformation, because we had a naturopath on the show, on Giuseppe's show, and we were talking about how ineffective masks are and how vaccines are extremely dangerous. And she even said that – this is very interesting, Mike. She even said that she has friends that are, you know, regular allopathic doctors in Arizona, and they've admitted to her privately that there isn't really much going on in the way of COVID patients, that the whole thing is a fraud and a scam, and it's all cooked up to scare people.
Oh, imagine that. Dave, let's delve into that foreign territory where very few people ever, you know, most people fear to tread. Let's move into the realm of common sense.
And okay, if we must.
Okay, and let's, okay, put on your battle gear, and let's just ask a very simple question. Okay, if you have something which you know is factual, which you absolutely, unequivocally know is factual, why would you care if I came at you and said, I can prove it's not? Why would you care?
Yeah, that's a very good point. Let the people make a fool of themselves that want to peddle stupid theories that don't have any basis in reality.
Well, we say in our American jurisprudence, we say that everyone is entitled to a defense, and everyone is entitled to face their accuser. Well, the government is not adhering to its own mandates. Why in all of the media, why are they shutting up anyone who disagrees with the government line? Why would they not? If it were, you know, if I were in a position where I had presented an irrefutable fact, I would welcome anyone to approach that fact and say it was false. Because all it does, when I prove it's false, it reinforces my position.
That's a great point, Mike. And I think you're hitting on something really important, which is, you know, when the big tech companies started this censorship, they kept saying, oh, you're breaking the community guidelines. And what it's going to evolve into, what it's very quickly evolving into, is anyone who disagrees with the official government narrative is going to be silenced. It doesn't matter what the subject matter is going to be. If you go against what the government says, you will be censored.
Well, Dave, and look, they started after the U.S. government took out its own president in 1963, 57 years ago this month. When they took out their own president because he wasn't going along with the game, when they took him out, they then immediately came up with this wonderful weapon they could use against people who might come up with facts to dispute the official government story. You came up with this theory called a conspiracy theory. And the FBI, it's in the CIA, they actually had a document number for it. Here, and what they said, and I'm paraphrasing, is if any time that people begin to catch on to what we're doing, we'll hit them with this phrase of a conspiracy theorist. And then of course, you know, the media picked that up right away because we had Operation Mockingbird. So the media picks that up right away. And so anybody who questions the government has to be a conspiracy theorist.
Right.
Oh, well, evidently that's not working good enough. You can't take someone who comes up and says, hey, this COVID is a fraud. What you're pulling on the people is a fraud. Your vaccine is a fraud. Everything you're doing is a fraud. Why would the government not want to prove those people wrong? It bolsters their position. When you want to shut people up, you do not have the evidence for what you're claiming is true.
Right. That's so true, Mike. And like you were saying, it would just buttress their position by disproving, you know, obvious misinformation. But the thing is, they really don't have the facts on their side. And they've been using a program of deliberate confusion since the beginning of this COVID thing by giving different figures and different facts and this and that. And, you know, they're just all over the place. So nobody, part of the strategy, I believe, is just to keep people confused and afraid.
Well, you know, here's a theory, Dave, and I've wondered about this one. I even mentioned it, I think, on Facebook one time. If I had an enemy and I really wanted to get rid of that enemy, I would go out and make sure somehow that they got this COVID-19. And then I would plan their demise. You know, whatever I did to take them out, if they had COVID-19, according to the government, COVID-19 killed them. I didn't.
Well, that's a great point. Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, I was talking with this lady that runs a fruit stand, probably has a sixth grade education, and I was telling her, you know, this whole thing is a fraud. And she goes, because so many people are wondering, but they're afraid to speak out. She said, you know, I was thinking the same thing. If this is so deadly, how come none of the world leaders have gotten it and died?
Well, you know, and that is exactly true. And, you know, I believe that Trump having it was a fraud. I believe that was a part of their PSYOP. I believe that they had to rush it out there. And who better to get the COVID and survive but the leader of the free world? God, I hate that phrase.
Yeah, and of course, you know, it was he got COVID 33 days before the election. I'm sure that's just a coincidence, though.
Well, almost everything the government does is a coincidence. But when we come back on the other side, I do want to go into this Operation Vigilant Eagle a little more if we can, please, Dave.
Great. That sounds fascinating. I'd like to hear more about it. Yeah, excellent.
See you on the other side.
I will defend myself against their tyranny. Number 3 is my radio broadcast. I'm squarely in front of the public all the time, and they all know what's going on.
For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence.
Hello, my name is John Wayne. And I do a broadcast here at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio, called The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
Freedom and fear are at war.
And folks, I assure you, we are in defense condition 1, as we journey perilously through this paradigm that we currently reside in. And I ask that you join me every Saturday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for the unequivocal truth, DEFCON 1.
We shall never surrender.
We're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, stupidity.
I'll do you for that.
Do what? Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me?
I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight's always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio! Thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Hey, good afternoon, folks, or morning if you happen to be way out there on the left coast. Some people resent that remark, but it is, if you look at the map, it is the left coast. Welcome back to Dare to Think Out Loud, which... Dave and I are doing on a regular basis here lately. Dave, why would the U.S. government intelligence agencies devote so many assets to watching what the veterans of their own fabricated wars are doing once they get out of the control of the military?
Well, I think there's only one answer to that question, is they fear what they know, both militarily and from seeing this beast in operation from the inside. I think that represents a real threat and to the powers that be that want to enact tyranny. Because most people that joined the military did it out of a sense of patriotism and wanting to help the country and a love for the country. I mean, that really is true.
Well, here, let's venture into that unknown field of common sense again. And this is a question I have asked in articles now for a better part of 20 years. If the military, if the United States military is really out there fighting for our freedoms, how many freedoms have we lost in the past 20 years?
Oh, boy, that's a long list, Mike.
Okay, so if they're fighting for our freedoms and we're losing our freedoms faster than we can keep up with them, what would happen perhaps if we said, okay, you're not fighting for our freedoms, and if you are, it's not working, so stop. Whatever you're doing is making it worse, so stop.
Yeah.
So then
what would happen?
So then the hero status has to be removed, because then the truth surfaces that they are not out fighting for our freedoms. They are actually fighting for the monetary, for the financial bottom line of the military industrial banking complex.
Yes. And I believe that they're also conditioning these countries that are occupied and conquered to make them suitable and ready to live under the rule of central banking.
Exactly. And I want to jump back a little bit, because I mentioned this before and I want to be accurate with this, and I found the information during break. And this was, I wanted to cover a training session for the Colorado State Police, and the instructor was a gentleman named Klesinski. I use that term loosely. And he appeared as an instructor, and he started the meeting with his fellow members of law enforcement on April the 1st, 2013, that the police, number one, should be wary of, and I quote, people who take the Bible literally or too seriously and believe our country was founded on Christian principles. Now, let's go back again, that the police should be wary of those people. Wow. And that those not going along with the changes in our country would need to be, quote, controlled by law enforcement, unquote.
Wow. And not only was this country founded on Christian principles, but, you know, basically Western civilization was founded on Christian principles, whether you like it or not. That's just the simple fact of the matter.
Well, true. And then, again, here is something even more. We're going back to 2013, folks, 7 years ago. And this officer, a training officer, asked all of the officers in attendance, and here is the question. If you are willing and prepared to confiscate illegal weapons if ordered to do so.
Right.
Was it a coincidence that mentioned during this session also was the threat of outlaw bikers? So is there a recurring theme here, Dave, that veterans, Christians, and bikers are the perceived enemies of our government?
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, the other thing about bikers is they tend to be, you know, very masculine guys, very, you know, tough guys. And I think that's another thing that the government fears are truly masculine men, because that's why they're pushing homosexuality and all kinds of, you know, feminized components to our society and saying, oh, look how wonderful these people are. And meanwhile, you know, men are demonized. So the bikers are sort of at the extreme side of that. You know, they're pretty tough characters for the most part.
Well, and also you have the point that bikers may have caught on to this scam before the rest of us have, and so they had to be demonized. And
that's a great point.
That everyone that's being demonized. Okay, so now we're seeing Christians, veterans, you know, militias, all of these people represent a threat to the federal government. If the federal government is adhering to its constitutional limitations, which are very few, in fact, very, very few, I believe that I could make a point using the Constitution. I believe I could make a point that any law the government passes is constitutional. What do you think, Dave?
That's interesting. Yeah, keep going with that. It's very interesting.
Well, number one, I believe it would be considered constitutional because the judicial system that was put in place would deem it so from the very beginning. You know, we have implied immunity for employees of the federal government in this country. Implied immunity for government employees to commit crimes of which they cannot be legally challenged if they're working in performance of their duties. And one of the things that really troubled me a few years ago, and I'm trying to think exactly when it was, Dave, but in Tucson, Arizona, there was a gentleman that worked at the mines in near Tucson. He was an Iraq War veteran, a Marine Corps Iraq War veteran, and he was at his home. He had worked the third shift. He had gotten home, had gone to bed. It was like 9:30 in the morning. His wife and young son are in the house. The house is approached by 50 to 60 SWAT team members from various agencies in the Tucson area, and they approach the house and break open the door. His wife is screaming when this happens. He comes running out of the bath, out of the bedroom, awakened. And the first thing he did when he heard his wife screaming was he grabbed his rifle, his AR, and he comes charging out into the living room, and where he is therefore shot 60 plus times by these SWAT team members who are in his home looking not for him, not for anyone in his immediate family, but it comes out later they're looking for his uncle.
Wow. What year was this approximately?
I'm trying to remember when that actually happened, Dave. But I remember the huge situation that went on was, first of all, the police lied and filled out false information. The officers involved said he shot first. All of the evidence that was taken indicated he had never fired the rifle. He just had it in his hand. And so he was killed, and they would not allow his wife to call medical help. Of course, shot 60 sometimes. He didn't have much of a chance anyway. But his name was Jose Guarena, and he served in the Iraq War and was killed in his Tucson, Arizona home on May the 5th, 2011. So they defended shooting this veteran over 60 times. And guess what? This was a drug raid. There were no drugs found in his home. There were no warrants for him. There were no warrants for his wife. And his wife and young son got to sit and watch him expire in a hail of bullets in their own home. And the prosecutor in Pima County, Arizona, ruled that they were just doing their jobs, and therefore they were adhering to their training, and therefore none of them could be charged, and besides, they had implied immunity.
Wow. Wow. Well, and you know, these police are often told that the average citizen is a potential enemy. And I've seen footage of I can't remember his name, but there's an ex-Army Ranger guy that goes around the country giving these seminars to cops. He's quite well known. He's done thousands of seminars. And I saw some footage from him, you know, giving a speech to these cops. And one thing he said is, you have to become a killer. You have to be willing to kill at any moment without remorse. And I mean, the pep talk he was giving these guys, it sounded like they were going off to war, not defending the, you know, the citizens of the United States.
Well, Dave, that brings me back to the year 2014. And I was living in Colorado, and myself and a couple of other folks, including one of the county commissioners, supported this gentleman for sheriff in the county. And he was a former cop. He had retired from, I believe, the San Bernardino County, California Sheriff's Department, 24 years. He operated a business there in Colorado. We went to his business on several occasions, talked to him about if he would consider running for sheriff. We liked his attitude. We liked how his ideas about being a member of law enforcement in the area. We liked him quite a bit. So we asked him about running, and he said no. He just really didn't want to do that anymore. So a few days later, this friend of mine who was a county commissioner called me, and he said, guess what? Mike has agreed to run for sheriff. And we were excited. And so we started laying some groundwork for the campaign. And he said, well, look, he said, I have been retired for such a period of time that I would have to be recertified according to Colorado law. And he said, there is a class starting soon for certification. And he said, I do not believe that the taxpayers of the county should have to pay for me to go if I'm elected. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to get recertified prior to the election. I want to get recertified so that wouldn't be a burden on the taxpayers of the county. Well, we thought, you know, that's even more reason we like this guy. So he starts the training with the law enforcement trainers. And I guess we were 4 or 5 weeks into his training, and he calls us one night and he says, hey, guys, or one afternoon, he says, guys, can we meet tonight for dinner? And we said, sure. So we met at a barbecue place, and we're sitting and talking to Mike. And Mike says, guys, I can't do this. And we said, what do you mean you can't do this? He said, this training this academy, this police academy, is scaring me to death. And we said, well, elaborate. What are you talking about? And he said, they aren't training police officers. They're training assassins. He said, the answer to every circumstance is shoot. Explain it later. Which coincides perfectly with what you are saying, Dave, about what this guy's going around training the cops to do. And we have seen the results of it on the streets of this country. I mean, I think about that Charleston shooting where a guy stopped for a brake light and ends up being shot in the back by a police officer chasing him when he's trying to, he finally sees that he's afraid for his life. He turns around, starts to run, and the cop shoots him three times in the back. And we have seen multiple cases of this over and over and over again, and they have implied immunity. But I will never forget when Mike sat there and he said, they're training assassins. They're not training cops, they're training assassins. So why is our government permitting this, or are they the actual instigators of the entire thing?
Oh, there's no question they're the instigators. Because let's not forget, too, that, you know, they've been arming, you know, even small town police departments with tanks and all kinds of military surplus equipment and just stuff that no normal police department would ever need.
Well, exactly. And is this a plan? Has this been formulated? Does this go along with Jade Helm 15? Does this go along with the depicting anyone who resists government as a domestic terrorist? How can anyone, Dave, and we jump back into this common sense arena again, how can anyone not see this?
Yeah, well, it's, again, it's just people, Americans that really, you know, have been brainwashed with this sacred mythology of the country and how free we all are. And it's repeated to us all the time on multiple, you know, venues. And Mike, I know you said you wanted to get back into that Operation Vigilant Eagle. And, you know, I looked it up just on Wikipedia. And, of course, we know Wikipedia is always correct and honest. But I just want to read you one sentence from it so you can maybe take it from there and see where you want to go with it. Operation Vigilant Eagle is an American law enforcement effort headed by the FBI aimed at identifying and preventing violence from white supremacists and military sovereign citizen extremist groups. The operation was first mentioned in the Wall Street Journal in April 2009.
Oh, so it's been in effect for 11 years now.
Yeah. And they even go on to mention the posting questionable song lyrics, like you said, further down in the article, that can get an ex-military guy on the list just for that.
So what kind of country is afraid of its veterans, Dave?
Well, it kind of circles back to the beginning of our discussion and on the first hour, which is here we're seeing, you know, more and more uses of the military in civilian life to sort of acclimate the people for a new reality. And, you know, another thing that we should remember is, you know, these lockdowns, that's a military term, you know, or a prison term, and not a medical term. What they're doing are, you know, these are medical martial law being implemented.
Well, I'll give you a prime example of that. Is this not lockdowns and stuff? Is this not what our military was trained to do in places like Afghanistan and Iraq?
Right. Yeah, that's a great point, because they went house to house, town to town. Yeah.
What a great training ground.
Right. And it's totally outside any laws the United States might have or any expectation of freedom or, you know, proper behavior. And then, you know, the other interesting thing, Mike, is how many military guys are being recycled into being police. There's the whole recruitment program to go from military directly into the police.
Oh, of course there is. And they recruit heavily. Police departments recruit heavily from veterans who are getting out of service. That's been going on for decades. Yes, they recruit very heavily from that angle. Here's another question. What kind of government fears a populace that takes the Bible literally?
Well, that's a great question, Mike. You'd have to say, you'd have to say it's some kind of a communist entity, an entity that wants the government to be God. And of course, who's the interpreter of taking the Bible literally? I mean, who makes that interpretation exactly? It's a pretty complicated book.
What did Marx say about religion?
Right. The opiate of the masses.
So I can see where a completely socialist government would be very much afraid of anyone who took the Bible literally, because it would be 180 degrees out of phase from that government's mode of thinking.
Sure, you're cutting in on their turf. That's their turf. And, that's a very good point, Mike.
So let's see, we've got a government that's afraid of its veterans. We've got a government that's afraid of Second Amendment folks, because those folks think they have a right to be armed. And I wanted to throw this out. Were you aware that the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, which, that should be the name of a convenience store, not a government agency. are you familiar with the fact, or have you heard that they just outlawed these stock parts? I forgot what they call them for AR-15 and AK-47 pistols. No, not bump stocks.
What parts are you talking about? I mean, just parts, the replacement parts for the guns?
No, it just fits. It fits on the end and actually makes it, and the BATF is claiming it makes it a short barrel rifle.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, I had heard that.
Okay.
What's your take on that?
So where did that come from, and in what part of our Constitution, as bad as it is, what part of our Constitution allows a bureaucrat to make law?
Well, that's a great point. And you're seeing that with Environmental Protection Agency and countless other agencies. They just make laws on their own, and then, they're enforced.
That is, to me, is we're getting into a very, very extremely frightening territory with all this stuff, Dave. And I can't help but be alarmed. And again, where are we going, and how fast are we going?
That's exactly what I've been. That's been on my mind a lot these last several weeks, Mike. And the only conclusion I can come to is they have to move things along very quickly now, because they have the momentum and the fear amped up like it's never been before. They've got to keep the momentum going, or else, they're losing valuable time to enact this plan. I think things are going to move forward very quickly. I hope I'm wrong, though.
Well, here was one of the things. Thank you, Bumpy. They're called braces. So I appreciate that help. I was looking at some remarks that were made in Friday, August the 2nd, 1996, by the Honorable David Funderburk of North Carolina in the U.S. House of Representatives. And I would like to read the first paragraph, because I referenced this earlier and I want to give people documentation of what I said. And Congressman Funderburk said, "Mr. Speaker, on October the 18th, 1995, Thomas A. Bussey, then chief of the National Firearms Act branch of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, hereafter BATF, made a videotape training presentation to BATF headquarters personnel during a roll call training session. Roll call training is weekly or periodic in-house training for all BATF officials, a routine show and tell whereby bureaucrats learn about each other's duties and functions. Bussey's National Firearms Act branch administers the National Firearms Act of 1934, the taxation and regulatory scheme governing machine guns, silencers, short barrel rifles, and shotguns, destructive devices, and so forth. In his capacity of NFA branch chief, Bussey was the official custodian of the National Firearms Registration and Transfer Record, hereafter called the NFRNTR, mandated by 26 U.S.C. 5841. Bussey's presentation was anything but normal, routine, or customary. In describing these records, Bussey made the startling revelation that officials under his supervision routinely perjured themselves when testifying in court about the accuracy of these records. Every prosecution and forfeiture action brought by the United States and involving an allegedly unregistered NFA firearm requires testimony under oath by a duly authorized custodian of these records after a diligent search. And he goes on, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but if folks want to know about that, they can let us know, and I'll give them a link to this entire testimony. But he proved in congressional testimony that the BATF actually had training sessions teaching their agents to commit perjury, to put American citizens in prison. Now, here is my question. Why was Mr. Bussey not charged with a crime when this happened? Because the proof was there, introduced before the U.S. Congress. Why was he not charged with a crime? Why was he allowed to continue in his position? Back on the other side. Thanks, guys.
Now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom?
The future is uncertain, I know this. Death is inevitable. I know this. But one thing is certain. As free men, it is our right to live unencumbered and in peace. And those times are quickly drawing to an end. And in these times, peace is certainly an illusion. And as the chains grow tighter, our ability to slip those chains increase incrementally with every passing moment. Inaction is no longer an option. It's time to raise our voices like a cacophony of thunder and lightning, and tell the masters no more. And this is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away.
Travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got here.
Thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Hi, folks. Welcome back to Dare to Think Out Loud. And my friend Dave and I, we dare to think out loud quite often. And we want to ask you, please, to support the platform that allows people to speak out freely. You aren't censored. We haven't been told that we have been giving out bad medical advice, or we have been deemed somehow a threat to the wonderful world of tyranny. So please, if you can, support Revolution Radio, one of the probably the last bastion of free speech that we have in this country. So support them if you can, because they're totally listener supported. They do not depend on money from corporate America or anything else to keep them going. So stand up, and I'll promise you, all of us at Revolution Radio do not agree about a lot of things, but we are allowed the voice to say so. We are allowed to voice our opinions. So I ask very strongly that you support that effort. Dave, where do you want to go now?
Well, we've hit upon so much. You know, I'm just I'm very concerned that they're prepping not only the United States but the Western world for some type of a martial law scenario. I forgot to mention that in France, they've deployed a whole bunch of troops too, because there was a Muslim attack in a church or something like that. And there's protests going on there. Germany is having massive protests as well, and they're using a heavy hand to try to quell all this stuff. And I'm just seeing a coordinated effort around the Western world to deploy the military onto the streets of these nations. And Mike, one thing I wanted to ask you about that I find very odd is, why has China defeated the coronavirus? They are pretty much done with it. They're back at full production and shipping, you know, their so-called goods all over the world. Yet the West is shutting down and heading for self-destruction.
Well, to me, Dave, and I have thought about this, and I believe we've actually mentioned it on your program a time or two. I believe that what we are seeing here is a transfer of power. And that's a global power. We are seeing the fact that, hey, if you want to take over America, do it with something that they will agree to. Get them to agree to a virus. Get them to agree to emasculate everyone. Get them to make themselves sick. Get them to take a questionable vaccine. Get them to do all of these things. Plus, you know, you have had the U.S. military online for 19 plus years. The money that was needed to create new weapons was spent instead on maintenance of keeping the weapons up that we have constantly in use. So I believe that the powers that be, the international bankers of this country, and the one world order folks have decided to transfer the power of the director of this travesty from the United States to China.
Yeah, that's what it looks like, isn't it? Because, you know, we've done all we can since the 1990s or even earlier than that to build China up and make sure they had all the military secrets and the industrial secrets, and they had most favored nation trading status and so on and so on. I think you're right. I think the powers that be, these central bankers, have decided that China has a much more efficient system that will work for world governance.
Well, you know, and let's go back to, if we could briefly, what we talked about on your program last Saturday. And let's look at this Maurice Strong figure, who had $44 billion in 2006, gave $35 billion of it to Bill and Melinda Gates. And why would a man who was living in China give Bill and Melinda Gates $35 billion? And, you know, and we had Chris come on, Chris Weinert, I believe it was, who came on and said that Mr. Maurice Strong may very well have been the prodigal son of Mao Zedong. So, and he was living in China. And he said publicly that this government had to be brought down. And no one thought it would be an easy process. And I don't believe they thought it would be an easy process. And on several occasions, Dave, we have gone back to the meeting in Estes Park in 1987 in Estes Park, Colorado, and the planning there of the World Conservancy Bank and all of the things that they planned to do. And who was in attendance there? Maurice Strong, Baron de Rothschild, James Baker, Secretary of State, and many other very prominent figures who had decided they were controlling the world. And so if Maurice Strong was of Chinese descent, does that not play into the end game?
Right. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I saw an interview with one of these man on the streets interview in China. And, the Chinese don't even have the illusion that they're free or that they're free to speak out against the government. They interviewed this one poor guy and, well, what do you think about the COVID-19 being defeated in China? Well, we worked with the government and everyone worked together as one to defeat this virus. Thank you. that was.
Oh, you think that might have been planned propaganda, Dave?
Oh, no.
To tell poor old Bubus Americanus, all you have to do to defeat the COVID is do everything the government tells you to do.
Right, and that's one of the big overarching messages, isn't it, Mike, from this COVID thing. Without the government, without big, high-tech pharmaceuticals, you are going to die of COVID. So you better just do as you're told.
Well, Dave, for decades, the majority of my adult life, we have two political parties in this country, and both of them offer different things if you will just support their agenda. But both of them offer things that do not exist in nature. But they have tricked the American public into believing that these governments can provide them with things that do not exist in nature. Number one, the left side of the political spectrum promises you equality, social justice. Yeah, okay. That does not exist in reality. That does not exist in nature. As a good friend of mine used to say, well, if we were all created equal, I could play basketball like LeBron James. So we are not all created equal. We're supposed to have equality in opportunity, not equality in outcome. The left paradigm in this country promises equality in outcome, that no matter what you do, do nothing, sit on your butt at home, you will be taken care of. And you will be taken care of by those poor, dumb idiots that will go out and bust their ass and pay taxes. But the equality is there. You will be treated the same if you decide to do nothing. You will be given free medical care. You will be given free education. Everything is free in the outcome world of the leftist Marxist. But then on the other side of the aisle, so to speak, we have the conservative element, the right-wing element, which promises everyone security. hey, if you will just stick with us, we'll make sure that the boogeyman du jour does not get you today. It won't be that crazy Muslim. It won't be the crazy Vietnamese. It won't be the crazy Korean. It won't be the crazy Russian. They will not get to you if you will just support us. And, of course, we need all your money. And that doesn't exist in nature either. Protection does not, security does not exist in nature. If it did, all of us could program how long we would live. And the greatest coup in history is when government got people to bow down and to quit, to give up their jobs, to give up everything based on something that may not even exist. Now, that has to be the greatest coup in the history of man.
No question. It's the greatest mind control experiment ever attempted on the human race. And, you know, your description of the left and right is so spot on, and it's so concise. And, of course, they may give people a check and free medical care. But, of course, you're going to have to jump through an increasing number of hoops in order to get that. You're going to have your COVID ID, your COVID this, your COVID that, and whatever else they're going to demand of you as time goes on. Because once you're dependent, they've got you, and you're not going to have any say in what happens in the future.
Well, Dave, look how easy they made it in the beginning. When they first came out with this crap, and they're shutting down businesses right and left, they're telling you you can't go here, you can't go there, you can't do all of these other things. Look how great they made it in the beginning, so that the people would accept it better, is they gave them these great unemployment benefits. You had people making more on unemployment than they had made working. Pardon me. My tongue got in front of my eye tooth. I couldn't see what I was thinking. So anyway, you end up with these crazy, okay, you got people making so much money, you know, $600 a week that they're making more than what they were making working for a living. So that makes this COVID pretty easy to take in the minds of those people. Well, yeah, it can't be that bad. I'm better off now, and I don't have to go to work every day. Well, then that ends. Okay, and so then at the same time, we throw out $1,200. You know, what does $1,200 mean to a man or a woman who has put their lifeblood into a business, and they're working to make that business work so that they can feed their families and maybe leave something for their children to have down the road? How does $1,200 add up against that? You've lost everything. And we've got people now, I forgot the number, I read it the other day, how many people now can't pay their mortgages? This does not have a good ending. But I go back to what Jefferson said. You get the government you deserve. This government has been telling us now for at least 30 years that they intend to do exactly what they're doing right now. They did it in small increments. Back in 1995, we had a government agency training their people to lie in court. What happened to them? Nothing. We had a man shoot a woman holding her baby in the face in Idaho. What happened to him? Nothing. Government implied immunity. We burned down a church in Waco, Texas. 30-some children die in that fiasco. What happened to the people who perpetrated that? Nothing. They got promoted.
And reelected.
And reelected, yes. You know, if you have ever voted to reelect anyone who had violated their constitutional oath, you are part of the damn problem here. You're not part of the solution. And I was really kind of freaked out. I guess whoever it is on our host chat probably is not going to like this, but I already saw someone on host chat putting out, maybe they were doing it facetiously, but somebody already put out Trump 2024.
Yeah, because if you think we're going to have anything, any kind of a world that any of us recognize in 2024, you are sadly mistaken and you're kidding yourself.
Well, does anyone look at all of this stuff that we're enduring now and looking at these draconian laws that they're coming up with? And suddenly we have Kamala Harris and Joe Biden coming up with all of these crazy anti-gun theme, gun themes. Do you think that is happenstance? Really?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if there's some kind of mass shooting shortly into the Biden administration to help ease people along and give him a mandate to stop the killing.
Well, we've had it for years. You know, the thing that has amazed me with all of it is the mind control of the American public. You have 24-hour news, CNN, PMS, NBC. You've got all of the, even Fox News, you've got all of these people. Everybody's now is raving about Newsmax. Newsmax was belongs to a gentleman by the name of Christopher Ruddy. And Christopher Ruddy donated $100,000 to the Clinton Foundation. Do you really think this guy's going to give you right-wing news?
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, most people don't. But they're really, we think that you're going to get the news out of this government when government controls the airwaves. And when Hillary Clinton came out, I think, I forgot what year it was, 97, I think, when she said that when the internet was just first getting a good start, or maybe she said it as Secretary of State, I'm not sure which one, but she said, we have to have some kind of gateway for this internet thing. You have to have permission to be on it. You have to be checked out. You have to get a permit to be on the internet.
Yeah, that's when she was Secretary of State. Yeah, well, and Mike, that's something that's been really weighing on my mind recently, is that I think there's going to come a point where they're just going to shut the internet down for a certain period of time. And when it reopens, you're going to need a government ID to get on there. And pretty much every site imaginable that questions the government or the agenda is going to have been scrubbed. And it's going to be a very different world. And, you know, China already has that.
Well, what's the chance before you could come back on the internet, you'd have to have a vaccination, Dave?
Right. That would all fit together quite nicely, wouldn't it?
Well, the other thing I was wanted to touch on with that mind control is look at the incredible numbers in the high millions of people in this country who are on mind-altering pharmaceutical drugs. And I'm sure under this COVID thing, depression rate has increased exponentially, which requires even more. If you don't believe it, sit down, watch a TV. You know, somebody might have to hold a gun on you. But watch TV and watch the first 10 commercials and see what the majority of those commercials have to do with. Pharmaceutical drugs.
Yeah. And it wasn't that long ago that pharmaceutical drugs were not allowed to be advertised on television.
Well, look at this Pfizer, who came up with this vaccine. Look at Pfizer's record of lying about their products and how many times they were charged with lying about their products. And who was the lady who was in charge of Pfizer at that time with their propaganda programs of lying about their products? Who was in charge of that? And then where is she now? Oh, she works for the government. Oh, imagine that. And with Pfizer coming out with this thing, no one in the media is mentioning all of their trials where their products were actually killing people.
Right.
Nope, can't be talking about that.
Well, Mike, let me ask you, what do you think this vaccine agenda really is? Where do you think they're going to go with the vaccine agenda? What's the end game with it?
Well, they've been working for years on DNA, changing DNA, and, you know, you need a docile population. You don't need crazy people like me and you. You need something to govern those people and make them all little docile sheep. And plus, I still believe, and it's population control as well, which Bill Gates has been preaching for 25 years now, I still believe that there will be certain parts of this vaccine that will work with maybe 5G, maybe something electronic, that will work with some other binary. Maybe at some later time you get a vaccine for anything. Maybe you go back in for your annual flu and maybe it's a binary and maybe that takes you out. Because a government does not want non-producers. A government only wants those who are willing slaves for that government. And the vaccination makes all the sense in the world. I am sure that Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin, and Mao Zedong right now are just absolutely rolling in their graves that they didn't decide on coming up with a vaccine instead of shots to the back of the head and throwing people in ovens.
Right. Well, and it makes, you know, you look like the good guy. We're trying to save you with this vaccine. We're not shooting you in the head. This is just for your own good.
Right. Well, you know, I think so many times, Dave, I'm not sure. Are you familiar with the prison facility, the death camp in Poland that was called Sobibor?
No, not really, no.
That's a long story. We don't have the time to really get into it, but Sobibor is a great story. It's a great story on the fact that very quickly, I'll say that the Germans messed up. The Germans brought some POWs that they had captured on the Western Front, and they brought some of those people to this prison camp. And these Russians walked around in the prison camp for 3 or 4 days and went to the Jews and said, folks, don't you see what's happening here? Don't you know that when you get loaded into these various things and they march you off over there where you see the smoke coming out of those buildings, haven't you noticed no one ever comes back? And so the Russians actually got enough people together to plan an escape from Sobibor, which was unheard of. And they did escape from Sobibor. Several of them did. I actually got to talk to a lady in Washington, D.C., 1987, who had escaped from Sobibor. And it was funny. She said, you know what was really crazy is that the majority of us who escaped from that prison camp, from that death camp, the majority of us who escaped were recaptured by locals who lived around the place and turned back into the police.
Wow.
So, but anyway, Hitler, once the word got out, he couldn't control it anymore. So they went in and bulldozed Sobibor to the ground and got completely rid of it because they didn't want the word to get out that they were operating a death camp in Poland.
Wow. Well, that seems to be the end game. Every time you get a tyrannical government, it seems like the end game is always genocide of some kind.
All socialist governments end in genocide. Anyone who is a student of history knows that, David. Every socialist government and all governments become socialist. The more power you give them, the more socialist they become. And that facilitates socialism. And when it happens, the end result is always genocide. And we are headed down that trail. Will the genocide come from armed raids of your home, or will it come from a vaccination in your arm? That is yet to be seen, but my money's on the latter with some of the former as a incentive.
Yeah, and you got to wonder, why do these new vaccines have to be stored at like negative 70 degrees? You know, what is in these vaccines that it has to be kept in such a cold state?
Well, if it was important, we would know. If it was valid, we would know.
Yeah. I mean, that's unheard of, you know, as bad as the regular vaccines are, none of them had to be stored at that kind of extreme temperature. And, you know, what could possibly go wrong injecting that into the human body? You know, what could possibly go wrong there, Mike?
Oh, nothing, Dave. Good gosh, man. Do you not trust your government?
Yeah.
I have been talking with you for almost 2 hours, and now I found out you trust your government. Oh, my. Something's wrong with both of us.
Oh, yeah. Well, the vaccine will fix that, won't it?
Oh, absolutely. It makes sure we don't reproduce.
Yeah. Well, we're all going to be facing some tough decisions. I know I'm not going to take it under any circumstance. And I know most of the people listening out there will not either.
Well, one of the things that I try to tell people, if you say in your heart of hearts that you're not going to take this, don't go to the hospital. Because if you go to the hospital, I guarantee you, you're going to get it whether you want it or not. And you might even get it when you're not conscious. But you're going to get it. I believe they've already been doing that, Dave. And I believe I have some facts that will point in that direction. But we don't have time to discuss that either.
Yeah, we should hit upon that soon, because that sounds very interesting, Mike.
Well, it's going to be interesting. We live in interesting times, my friend. We live in very interesting times. And tell the folks about your show tomorrow, please, before we run out of time here, Dave.
Well, tomorrow I'm going to have a discussion on the control of the border. And what's really behind that and how it fits into Agenda 2030 and how it fits into this COVID madness as well. So a lot of things are going to be tied together. I'm going to have a very interesting researcher, Vicki Davis, is coming on. So we'll see where that takes us.
All right, buddy. Hey, thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Dave, take care. See you Sunday night on Addicted to Our Own Destruction.
Oh, okay, Mike. Take care.
Thank you for listening to Revolution.